Thank you guys as a congregation for your thoughts and prayers. As Janelle and I were not here last weekend for my uncle's funeral, and it's good to know that there's a congregation behind us praying for us and caring for us. And but it's good to be back. Before I start this morning, I want to, I know this has already been talked about, but I want to highlight the Seder meal again. I'm really looking forward to this. Dave Moore gave me a book on Wednesday, two Wednesdays ago, and it has all of these mysteries and these secrets from the Hebrew tradition that bring so much more meaning and depth to us as Christians. And what, you know, I just find this so fascinating. And it's so exciting because there are things that people who grew up in the Hebrew tradition, when they look at the Passover, when they look at the crucifixion of Christ, they have so much more understanding. When they look at his teachings, they just have this foundation of cultural understanding that some of us lack. And so on Thursday, I'm really looking forward to hearing some of this cultural background and just being amazed by the way that the Old Testament, the Passover, the celebration of the sacrifice of the Lamb just points so directly and parallels so well with the sacrifice of Christ. So, again, I know this has already been said, but we encourage you to come. We encourage you to be a part of that this Thursday. Also, yesterday, I had an opportunity to be at Langston Mennonite Conference's Celebration of Church Life. It was a good weekend of the conference coming together, the body of Christ coming together. We welcomed 54 new congregations into the conference. I know Andres was there, Tom was there. Was anybody else there this past weekend? Angelica was there. So I encourage you after the service to talk with one of them, ask what they were impacted by the celebration of church life, by this weekend of the body of Christ coming together. So that's all my prerequisite stuff for this morning. So we've been going through this series titled, It's All About Jesus. We've been going through the Gospels leading up to Easter, and we've been looking at the stories of Jesus. We've been almost like walking alongside the crowds as they observe Jesus in his ministry. And this morning on Palm Sunday, we're caught up in the hubbub of the crowds in Jerusalem as they gather for the Passover celebration. And all of a sudden, there's a commotion because Jesus is riding into the city. And this is the moment we've all been waiting for. This is the triumphal entry. Jesus is coming in, and the crowds are shouting. They're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the coming King of our father David. Hosanna. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And as the people are shouting these praises, they're declaring that Jesus is King. This is their declaration. This is their proclamation. This is who they're saying he is. Even this language about the Son of David is language of royalty. And they're declaring Jesus is King. They're ready to crown him. They're ready for him to establish his kingdom. But they were thinking of more of an earthly kingdom. A kingdom that would overthrow the Roman rule. It would reestablish the Jewish nation. It would bring back the glory days of King David when he reigned, and it would rebuild their cities and towns. It would restore their armies. It would gather the people back together. Essentially, Jesus as king would make Israel great again. I feel like I've heard that before. Don't get caught up on that. But the people were so excited about Jesus being king because they saw the political potential here. And so as they're proclaiming him as king, they're right. He is king. He will reign. He will reign sovereign. But they failed to realize that he's not the king they thought he would be. He was going to be a sovereign king, but his path to the throne would not be a path of political conquest. But it would be a painful and a gruesome and a dreadful path up Calvary's Hill to his death. You see, while the people got his name right, they missed the mark when it came to truly understanding who he is. They got his name right. They were declaring him king. That's right. But they missed the mark a little bit. They didn't understand what that meant. You see, knowing the name is only part of the picture. I don't know how often you guys visit our church's website, but one of the things on our church's website is staff bios. We have, a little biography of the staff, the pastoral team here at Groffdale, and you can go on there and read a little bit about us. And so here's a bio I borrowed from our church website. Austin Horning has served as lead pastor since 2009. Previously, he served as Groffdale's associate and youth pastor. Austin and his wife have three children, Kaylee, Tanner, and Janessa. Before moving to Pennsylvania, he was a teacher in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Austin grew up near Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and graduated from Eastern Mennonite Seminary in 2005. Now, if you're familiar with the leadership here, you'll know that that bio is not my own. That's actually Pastor Tom's description. But they got the name right. This isn't actually what's on the website. I'm just using it as an illustration. They got the name right, but a wrong understanding of who I actually am. And so in order to know me, you have to know more than just my name or my title. You have to know who I am. And the crowds in Jerusalem on that day, they knew his name, but they didn't know who he was. Which is better than some of the earlier crowds in the Gospels. There's a point where Jesus is with his disciples. In Matthew 16, he's with them and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And some people, and the disciples respond, they say, "Well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Jeremiah, the prophet of old, the weeping prophet raised from the dead. Some people say you're the mighty prophet Elijah, come back to life. Some people say you're one of the other prophets." See, these people didn't even get his name right. They didn't even have that first identifying factor. Their responses showed respect for Jesus, admiration for his teaching, but they didn't know who he was. They're still wrong about who he was. It is possible for men to have good thoughts about Christ and yet not right ones. It's possible for men to have high opinions of Christ and yet not high enough. And just like in Jesus' world, in our world, there are people who may not know the name of Jesus. They may not know that he is King. They may not know that he is Savior. They may not know that he is Lord, Healer, Friend, Redeemer. So there are people who don't know the name of Jesus. And there are people like the crowd who know the name of Jesus, but they have an incorrect understanding. Pilate was one of these people who knew the name of Jesus, but didn't know who he was. When he was given the task of examining and questioning Jesus, he was trying to figure out who he was. Pilate asks Jesus, and he says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus says, "Is this your own idea, or did you just hear it from others?" Pilate says, "Look, I'm not a Jew. Your own people handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, people would be fighting for it. But my kingdom is of another world." And Pilate says, "So you are a king." And Pilate, just like the crowds on Palm Sunday, recognized that Jesus was king. He had the name right, but he had a wrong understanding of it. He missed the mark when it came to truly understanding who Jesus is. Pilate said, "You're king." The crowd on Palm Sunday said, "You're king. Son of David, King of Israel," but they didn't know what it meant. They called him king, but they did not experience his kingship. Without knowing his name, we don't have the access to his mercy, redemption, forgiveness, and this divine relationship that the Father has to offer us. See, knowing the name is the beginning to that transformational relationship. When we look at Saul, who became Paul, this man who was opposed to the gospel, opposed to Jesus, opposed to Christians, and the beginning of his transformation, there's a voice that comes from heaven and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you?" And the voice says, "I am Jesus." And knowing the name transformed Paul's life. However, like we've talked about, it's not just knowing the name, it's having a right understanding. So we've looked at the crowd on Palm Sunday. We looked at Pilate. We looked at the crowd that thought Jesus was a prophet raised from the dead. Some of them didn't know his role or his name. Some of them knew his name but had an incorrect understanding. They didn't know who he was. However, there's one account where somebody knew his name and had a right understanding. So back in Matthew, like I referred to before, Jesus is with his disciples. Matthew 16, if you want to turn with me. And as he's with his disciples, he had asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they had responded with, "You know, one of the prophets." And then Jesus turns and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And in verse 16, Peter answers. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Here is somebody who understood the name of Jesus. He says, "You are Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah." And Jesus responds and he goes, "Blessed are you. For knowing my name, for knowing what this means, for understanding this, blessed are you. And more than that, on this declaration of who I am, I'm going to build my church. On this proclamation of my name, I'm going to build my church. On this foundation, this understanding of who I am, my church will stand. On the admission or denial of this truth, the church will rise or fall. The people of God are built on who Jesus is, more than just his name, more than just his title, but who he actually is and what that actually means for us. There is no foundation apart from him. The knowledge of who Jesus is the hinge on which the door of salvation swings. Jesus continues in this encouragement of Peter, and he says, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He says, because of this declaration of who I am, this recognition of my name and what that actually means, you are given authority and power to do my work. I commission you to bind what needs to be bound, to loose what needs to be loosed. And this is all stemming from the recognition of the name of Jesus and who he is. We've been focusing on kind of Jesus as king. Pilate said, "You are a king." The people, the crowds were declaring him as king. But he's so much more than that. He's Savior, healer, provider, Redeemer, Sustainer, Lord, Teacher. Jesus is a friend, the beginning and the end, the Ancient of Days, the Bread of Life, the Bridegroom, the True Vine, the Son of God. Jesus is the Light of the world, the Lamb of God, the Head of the Church, the Holy and Righteous One. And this is only a bit of who he is. There are so many names of God. And each one has an understanding that brings it to fruition. See, it's not just knowing his name. It's not just knowing that he's healer, but it's experiencing him as healer. It's not just knowing him as Lord, but it's bowing down to his lordship. It's so much more than just knowing his names. There's a pastor who preached back during the Civil Rights Movement, and his name was S.M. Lockridge. And he has a famous sermon called That's My King. And he talks about Jesus, and he lists the names of Jesus. And so in understanding who Jesus is and recognizing his name, we're going to take a look at a bit of a video from him. If we can increase the audio on that and start it over.
He's the King of Heaven. He's the King of Glory. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord. Says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
This is the King. This is the Savior. that we have come to know. And I don't know where you are. Maybe you're like the crowds who said, maybe he's a prophet, maybe he's a good teacher, maybe he's a good historical, moral guy, and you don't know his name. Maybe you're somebody who knows his name. You know these names, but you still need a fuller understanding, a fuller comprehension. Or maybe you're Peter and you're declaring the name of Christ and who he is. I think wherever we're at, our prayer is that we would be revealed, that he would be revealed more and more to us. And Jesus' response to Peter, he said, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Spirit did. My Father in heaven revealed this to you." And so our prayer this morning is that God in heaven would reveal his Son to us, that we would know his name, that we would know more than his name, that we would know who he is, and that he would be working in our lives. And so join me as I pray for this revelation into our hearts, into our lives. I'm going to be praying, but I encourage you to just speak out this desire to have more of an understanding, more of a revelation of who he is. So join with me in prayer. God, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us. God, open our eyes. We want to see you. We want to know you. God, teach us your names. Show us your heart, God. Show us who you are. Show us your power, your glory, your majesty. God, you reign as sovereign king. God, we want you to be king in our lives. You are Lord of lords. We want you to be Lord of our lives. You are Savior. We want you to be our Savior, God. God, speak your name to us. Give us a deeper understanding of who you are. God, let us not only know your name, but let us know who you are. Let us know you intimately and deeply. Have an increased knowledge of your character, your nature, your heart, your desires, your joys. God, reveal yourself to us. This knowledge of who you are is only going to come from you, God. God, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would reveal yourself to us, that we would know more than your name. God, this is our cry, this is our plea. God, let us not be like the crowds on Palm Sunday who just knew your name but had a misunderstanding. God, give us a right understanding of who you are. God, speak to us. Correct us when we have misunderstandings, when we claim you as Lord for our own sake, when we claim you as King for our own sake, God. God, we want you to have glory. We want you to have majesty. We want you to have power, Lord. We lift you up, God. Reveal yourself to us. Speak to us, Lord. Thank you for your desire to reveal yourself. You are so good, God. Amen.
Amen. As a way of responding and just entering into more fully into a prayer for God to reveal himself to us in the fullness of getting beyond just a name, but really understanding the Lordship of Jesus in every area of our lives, I invite you to sing this song as a song of response. Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim that you are King. Standing here in the midst of us, we raise you up with our praise. And as we sing that song, I just invite you, whatever area in your life that you are struggling to really experience Jesus, or at your area of need, just to, in your heart, be crying out to the Lord.